Welcome to the Product Podcast by Product School. Here's a preview of today's talk.
So on Monday, you get together and you're going through these discussions around what the problem is, what the metrics are you're hoping to see a change in. You're getting a really deep dive into the problem at hand. And then you go through these brainstorming exercise called How Might We? Then on Tuesday, you actually will spend some time alone and sketch out ideas by yourself. So, you know, Monday was more interactive. You work with everyone in the room. But then on Tuesday, you spend most of the day actually just jotting down your ideas and really baking out one idea. Then on Wednesday, you come regroup as a team. You go through all the different sketches. And then, you know, you'll kind of vote and review and create a storyboard of the of your prototype. So, and this is a critical piece of the design sprint, is on Thursday, you kind of split up the different tasks to create a working prototype. And you really are just doing whatever it takes to kind of fake it and make it look as much like the real experience as possible in one day.
In this podcast, we teach our listeners valuable lessons about product management and transform them into thinking like a product manager. We teach product management, coding, data analytics, and blockchain in 14 campuses worldwide, including San Francisco, New York, and Seattle. You can find more information at productschool.com. Join our Slack community of 25,000 professionals to network and stay tuned for our upcoming events.
Let's see. So today we're going to be talking about product design sprints. How many of you have heard of that term before? Yeah, okay. So it's the design process that Google came up with, and Google Ventures actually used to be an investor with Bluebottle, and we've actually partnered with them to go through this process several different times, and I'll just talk about one specific example that helped our business a lot. Again, like the general agenda for today is mostly just to walk through my experience with it, and there's a ton of resources online about what the actual activities are, what the different prompts are, so I won't go into too much detail today in that, but I am a huge proponent of it, and I just want to share the experience that I had and why it was a really good experience for us. So I am the product manager on the e-commerce business for Bluebottle. I've been at Bluebottle now for about 2 years. I've officially held the title of product manager for about 2 years now. So I'm kind of still figuring it out as I go. And before Bluebottle, I was a Deloitte digital consultant, also doing e-commerce. So now I've been in the e-commerce realm for 7 years now. And I before that, I was a Duke engineer, and I'm also an avid runner. How many of you have heard of Bluebottle? Okay. I think in the Bay Area, normally everyone's heard of Bluebottle. Sometimes when I go to other states, I'll forget that specialty coffee hasn't really made a big landing yet. But one thing that I think most people don't know about Bluebottle is that we have an online web shop that sells coffee, has a coffee subscription. I think most of y'all are familiar with all of our cafes, and we have all sorts of locations now. We've got them in New York, we've got them in Miami, Japan as well. You'll also see us in grocery stores, but today the main focus will be on coffee, selling coffee online, and specifically our coffee subscription business. So, going into what a design sprint process is, and I think a lot of y'all are familiar with it at least, it's a 5-day process for, you know, answering critical business questions through design, prototyping, and testing ideas with customers. So I think a lot of y'all are familiar with what the MVP is. So the design sprint actually will help you answer, you know, is your MVP going to meet the needs of your customers? Is it going to have the kind of impact that you're originally looking for? And you can answer those questions in 5 days, which I think is really great. Here's kind of the lay of the land of what the 5-day design sprint process looks like. From Monday to Friday, you're fully booked and fully committed all day in a room with probably 7 or 8 other people, and you're really just trying to solve one big problem. So on Monday, you get together and you're going through these discussions around what the problem is, what the metrics are you're hoping to see a change in. You're getting a really deep dive into the problem at hand, and then you go through these brainstorming exercises called How Might We. Then on Tuesday, you actually will spend some time alone and sketch out ideas by yourself. So, you know, Monday was more interactive, you work with everyone in the room, but then on Tuesday, you spend most of the day actually just jotting down your ideas and really baking out one idea. Then on Wednesday, you come regroup as a team, you go through all the different sketches, and then, you know, you'll kind of vote and review and create a storyboard of the of your prototype. So, and this is a critical piece of the design sprint, is on Thursday, you kind of split up the different tasks to create a working prototype, and you really are just doing whatever it takes to kind of fake it and make it look as much like the real experience as possible in one day. Then on Friday is when you actually will test this prototype with customers that you're hoping to acquire. And, you know, at the end of the week, you'll already get a sense of, okay, what is good about the prototype? What is bad about the prototype? What do we need to adjust? And things like that. And so I'll take you through what our experience looked like across these 5 days. Feel free to stop me at any point if you have any questions. Yeah, I would say the types of problems you're trying to address is usually a fairly meaty big problem. So it could be like a brand new product. There are so many examples of people who have done this. One example is that there was a hotel chain that was trying to make their experience more personable and they came up with a robot. So it can be as like big as that. I'll talk specifically about what we did, and that's kind of what I'll get to in the next slide. But we were focused on growing our coffee subscription business. And so if you have particular ideas that you want to bounce off me afterwards, we can also talk through that too. But yeah, I would say for design sprints in general, you're looking for a fairly big problem to solve. Cool. So how did we use it? Before you embark on this design sprint, most of you in the room, might be the facilitator. So what that means is you've got to do a little bit of extra work before the design sprint starts. And you are the one who's recruiting the people who are going to be in the room with you. And this might be where you have to kind of be a little persuasive, right? You're asking for a lot of time out of people's day. They're spending, 5 days with you when maybe they don't normally. You are trying to get a really cross-functional team. The team ideally would have a couple of people who can execute on the prototype after this design sprint. So this would be, you should at least have one designer, one engineer, and then they can like really take the idea that came out of the design sprint and carry it all the way to the finish line to launch. In our case, we had one designer, we had one engineer, and we also invited people that are normally not part of our digital team. So we invited the marketing team, the creative team, and what this does is it provides a different lens to the problem solving. And after you actually start working on this project, they'll be able to collaborate with you a lot more easily. So you have to, come prepared with a problem statement. So just, make sure that you actually have a problem to solve for the design sprint and that it's pretty clear in your head. There's definitely room to adjust this problem statement, and that's part of what the day one's exercise will be, is that you are in a group discussing and agreeing upon what the problem is. Just one logistics thing is that making sure you have lots of whiteboards, lots of sticky notes, and also a timer to make sure everyone's on track with time. But again, there's a ton of resources that I have links to. So this is you know, by no means an exhaustive list of all the things that you should be thinking of before you start on your design sprint. All right, so I mentioned earlier that our problem that we were trying to solve was to increase growth of our subscription. We have noticed, you know, before this, we were noticing a pretty flat, pretty flat subscriber count. We had some, you know, hypotheses around this. You know, maybe Blue Bottle Coffee wasn't really speaking to people who don't know that much about coffee. The way we talk about coffee can be a little bit alienating and confusing if you don't really know that much about coffee. So that was the hypothesis that we had, in that we needed to find a new way to provide value to a new type of subscribers. And so when we got in the room, we kind of talked about what our problem statement, what we wanted it to be, and we came up with providing emotional and functional value to a new group of subscribers. We also talked through the metrics that we wanted to see, and for this specifically, we were focused on improving our 3-month retention rates. Not to go into a ton of details, but we did notice a decrease in the 3-month retention rates year over year. So if we could solve for that, then we would know that this was a success. And then as part of day one, too, you are bringing in people, again, that are not, you know, necessarily part of your team. Not everyone will be day-to-day thinking about the problem that you think about every single day. So what day one really does is, you know, level the playing field so that everyone has a good understanding of what the problem is. And some of the exercises that you'll have to do in day one to make sure that, like, everyone is on board with solving the problem is getting some experts in the room who understand what the challenge is. You'll be interviewing them. You're going to create a customer journey map. And then as challenges come up, everyone will be writing down on a sticky note potential opportunities. And so this is the exercise that's called How Might We? And that's why you see, like, all these different sticky notes. This is actually, all of these were at one point a challenge that was reframed into an opportunity. And so asking the question of, you know, how might we, helps you frame the challenges into opportunities. And for us specifically, for Blue Bottle, one of our challenges was that, you know, you're getting a box of coffee every other week. Whoop-de-doo, it's going to be the same thing every other week. So how do we make sure people are still engaged time and time again, and so that they can stay loyal to us and continue to subscribe to us? So one, you know, how might we, to that challenge is, you know, how might we introduce content into the physical box to re-engage subscribers? Do you have a question?
Yeah, you're discussing identifying metrics that actually seem attractive for us, and the problem is that you want to provide emotional impact to subscribers, but you don't provide emotional value. So how did you actually assign metrics to track what the emotional value?
Yeah, so for emotional value, obviously that's a more fuzzy term. But ways you can do that to see how customers are receiving or perceiving the experience is we use this thing called Delighted that sends a survey out to people, and you can see track an NPS score, basically. It's like a satisfaction survey, and customers can use that to just say, I had a good or bad experience. Another way to get qualitative information is to actually identify the customers who experienced this, who went through the experience, and then get on the phone with them. You can actually just, like, incentivize this process by maybe giving them a discount on their next box or giving them free shipping, and then they might be willing to kind of just share some of their thoughts and feedback. So that's how I would collect some of the qualitative feedback. And then for... With the functional piece, again, that's like getting a sense of, like, how are they actually, how helpful is this coffee subscription actually to them? And then I think that's part of the process around the metrics is then also doing the quantitative analysis, which is a lot easier to get. Yeah. Yeah. Any questions so far?
So.
Yeah.
mentioned that you need to have different team members join the process, right? So what kind of background work do you need to do prior to?
Yeah, that's a great question, actually. For us, I actually didn't really assign any homework. I just told them the problem that we're hoping to solve is to grow the subscriptions. So I gave them a preview of what was to come, but they actually have plenty of time during this design sprint to like really come up with a lot of ideas and then to really fully flesh out one big idea. And it's up to you too. I think it could also depend on like the complexity of the problem. If you think that it would behoove the stakeholders or like these other people to know a little bit more, then you could come up with some homework for them. Yeah. Any other questions? Okay. And so continuing on to day one, I mentioned earlier that one of the things that we did too was to actually map out the customer journey. Again, just to make sure that everyone knows what is in existence so far. And so that's kind of what we had on the top part of this slide. And then after you've collected all of these, you've created all of these sticky notes, one thing I forgot to mention there is that you want to generate as many sticky notes as possible on day one. The idea is to really shoot for volume, to go for quantity. There's time later in the sprint to whittle those sticky notes down to one idea. But in the first day, just you know, have everyone really active and just writing anything down. Tell them not to be shy. And then what we did was we eventually started clustering the sticky notes. I think I saw on the earlier slide, but they were in different groups or themes. And some of the themes that we had were customizability, adding an element of surprise, and then I think the third one was education, so coffee education and brewing. I think so then you go through this exercise of voting on the different sticky notes, so you'll see like it's maybe a little too small, but there's these dots that you'll see on the sticky notes, and those were actually voting dots. And the other element of this design sprint is that it's a pretty democratic environment. There is one person who you call the decider to like break up any ties, but ultimately everyone has a voice, has a say in what goes into the final prototype. And then for us, part of the reason why you want to do the customer journey map too is that you can map the how might we sticky notes back to the customer journey and see where in the customer journey you want to focus the prototype on. And that's what we call the target. And so the target for us, you'll see there's several sticky notes that ended up mapping to a particular area. The target for us was actually the physical subscription box. So, yeah.
Who's the decider?
Like, how do you decide? So the decider, sometimes it's obvious who the decider is. It's the CEO. If you can't get the CEO, then it's maybe the director of products or someone who's ultimately responsible for the success of this product. Yeah. Yeah.
If you have enjoyed the episode so far, check out our upcoming live events at productschool.com/events. Use the promo code PRODUCTPODCAST in all caps to get a free ticket to the next event in your city.
Okay, so then at the start of day two, we came up with, I guess this is actually one area where we did ask people to do some homework, was to just take a look at some of the competitors that they're a fan of, and just to get some inspiration. So we went through that and just did some fun sketching on the whiteboard, but this is how you start off with day two. And the meat of day two is actually just doing this. So you remember how we came up with all of the sticky notes, had all of these ideas. In day two, you'll conduct as a group all sorts of sketching exercises. And it's actually, there's going to be a lot less talking than day one. So you'll go through a lot of different iterations of sketching on your own. And you eventually get to a point where you just find one idea that you're really excited about, and then you come up with your own mini storyboard that you see up here. So you'll see, like, for us, we had some examples were coming up with like a coffee school, and they called it Brewniversity. And it's essentially just, with your coffee shipment, you'll get coffee video tutorials to really get you making good coffee, as good as the baristas make at a Blue Bottle. Other ideas were just having like a almost a coffee journey map. So we have all these coffees that come from different countries. What if you could document all of that and really map out the journey that a consumer takes? So this is ultimately what you want to get to by the end of day two. Does that make sense? And then in day three, you actually will start the day looking at everyone's sketches from before. So we'll do this. It's called Art Museum Walk. And you post up all of the sketches in the room. You do a little walk around and just kind of observe all of the different sketches, the different ideas that each person came up with. And then after that, each person will actually present and kind of talk about the sketches. And what I like about this part of the process, too, is that, you know, everyone now has a voice. I think one of the drawbacks of some of the brainstorming sessions that are common is that a lot of the introverts won't speak up and they won't say as much as some of the other folks. And so at this point, you know, each idea kind of has equal weight because they get the same amount of time as all of the other ideas. And we also then went through an exercise of voting. And the reason there's like two different types of circles is that the blue is to just identify areas that people are that people like, but then the pink dots are actually deciding dots, in that they are going to be the pink means that particular sketch, that specific step of the sketch will actually make it into the final prototype. So there's different versions of I guess, like, of voting. Do you have a question?
So on the previous slide, there's a part that you mentioned on the slide. We also started looking at...
Oh, yeah. Thank you for reminding me about that. So this is actually outside of the room, so that's why I forgot about this step. But on Friday, you're going to be interviewing people, and so you need to do some recruiting. It's good to get a volunteer who's not in the room with you to do this recruiting for you. Keep in mind who your target customer is, and then you're going to eventually develop a screener for that. And then what we did was we actually just posted on Craigslist and posted an incentive, asked a few questions to screen people, and then this was kind of all happening behind the scenes. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Thank you. Two questions.
Yeah.
Number one, how did you figure out who your target customer is for?
Mm-hmm.
And number two,
Yeah, totally. So I kind of brushed over this earlier, but the segment that we have been serving really well are people who know a lot about coffee and can really appreciate the quality of Blue Bottle and understand like why we have a certain price tag on our coffee beans. And so the new type of customer that we were hoping to attract were people who are interested in coffee, but not necessarily, maybe not an expert, didn't know as much as like the people that we currently have in our subscription service.
Did you differentiate between those two? Did you give a survey?
Yes.
That's how you found out, like, oh, our original customers are all like pretty coffee experts.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, part of this is a hypothesis, right? Like, we did do some rounds of interviews way earlier in the year before we did this design sprint, so we had a basic understanding of the types of customers that we already acquired. So there was some, you know, some contextual knowledge that we had about our consumers before going into this, yeah.
And last one on this, because I feel, I'm just trying to think, are you designing this new prototype based on which set of customers?
The new, so the customers that we don't currently have. That's who we were trying to acquire. So, you know, basically, long story short, we were seeing, you know, pretty flat subscriber numbers. So when we took a look at, you know, the types of consumers that we were already speaking well to, it was people who knew us, people who already go to our cafes, and people who know quite a bit about coffee. So they're called, for us, they have this name that we call them coffee aficionados. They're like lovers of craft coffee. But, you know, those people aren't everywhere, right? And there's definitely more people that are probably like interested and know, want to learn a little bit more about coffee. But we haven't found a way to bring those people in. And so that's exactly. Huh?
I have no idea.
Okay, cool. Okay, so going back to day three, we came up with these different sketches, and then we took the elements that we loved the most and you know, incorporated that into a storyboard. So part of day three is, I should say, you know, the end goal of day three is to have a storyboard that you can launch with for the next day, because the next day is actually where you're going to start prototyping. So as you can see, our prototype was, we came up with the concept of essentially having something called a starter kit that takes you through to, you know, some watching some brewing videos, and then we'll ask you about your coffee. And then we also kind of have some educational inserts that came with the experience to talk more about, to provide more coffee education. So coffee education was kind of a big deal for us in this whole thing. Okay, day four, this is us in the room. So with day four, again, it's probably going to be a lot of heads down time. Each person should have a pretty clear understanding of what they are going to be working on, what they should be doing. You can use all sorts of tools to help you prototype. You could even use Keynote, use, you know, Google Slides, as scrappy as you need to be. But there's also Marvel App, InVision. We end up using Marvel App for this. That, you know, whatever you need to make it work. So one of the stages of the prototype for us was to actually have a physical experience, I guess. So this is the kit that we developed, and luckily we had these items on hand. We also happened to have some videos already existing that we weren't already using, so we kind of mocked up a version of having this training lab where people could watch. It's almost like a masterclass for coffee. Have y'all heard of or seen masterclass? So we were trying to, we were testing out that idea of, could we actually create really high production videos to get people excited about coffee, to want to learn more about coffee. Any questions so far? Yeah.
Going back to the boarding process.
Yeah.
So our team has been building the product for 2 years, but when we first ran our design sprint, we only had 3 people on the team. And it was one designer, one developer, one PM, who we called ourselves yesterday. We moved really fast, so that was a good thing. But
yeah.
When it comes to decision making,
yeah,
we can be pretty biased into our own ideas because we couldn't have one designer.
Yeah.
So when you don't have enough people in the team to get that voting,
yeah,
how do we prevent getting too attached to our ideas? How do we prevent bias?
Yeah.
Without bringing other people into the process too early on.
Interesting. So, so just so I understand, there were only 3 people in the sprint, and was there a, no one was a decider, I'm guessing?
We had the PM as the moderator, but not the decider.
Okay. Yeah. And was it that like each person had their own ideas, or was it like split 50-50?
We each did the how might be and the creativity.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, one suggestion is maybe you try prototyping all 3 ideas. Maybe each person, since there's only 3 of you, there's 3 ideas that you probably came up with, right? You could extend the sprint longer and actually test out all 3 versions. So to give you some experience with this. I wasn't a part of this particular design sprint, but we ran a design sprint before this where they actually had two competing ideas, and they actually created two prototypes. And so they just tested both prototypes against each other, and then at the end of the session, you'll know which to go with, because usually there's one prototype will be more favored by the consumer than the other. So if you're willing to spend a little extra time, I could see you also doing three prototypes.
So does that mean like an
prototype? Ideally, you want it to be as real as possible. Yeah, and you only have a day. I mean, you want to keep it with two a day, so maybe for you, you could have like add two extra days, one for each prototype. Yeah. How did you end up? So how did you end up resolving that?
We brought in other people.
Okay, you brought in other people. Yeah.
Supposed to be our target.
Yeah.
And then like a blind testing.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you kind of did do a prototype then, essentially.
Yeah, we had a sketch for them on paper.
Got it. Okay. Got it, okay. Yeah, cool. Any other questions? Thanks for sharing that. That's an interesting setup. Cool, okay. So I mentioned earlier we did some recruiting and we recruited five people who again, potentially interested in craft coffee but not experts. So these were the new people that we were hoping to acquire into our subscription business. And this seems a little creepy, but we told them that they were being recorded so that we could actually have a group of us watch in a different room, even though there would just be one person interviewing. This is definitely the best part, I think, of the design sprint. You're actually getting to see how people react in real time. People are, really entertaining when they are giving feedback. So what we learned from this was that people loved the actual kit, the starter kit. The scale, I don't know if you remember, but there was a scale kind of thrown in there, kind of threw people off. They were like, why do I need a scale to make coffee? So for the purpose of what we ended up doing, we decided to scrap the scale. The training lab was actually a huge flop. So this was actually we were most excited about this particular piece, but customers were just like, why do I need to wash this? I'm just pouring hot water on coffee. I don't want to be dealing with this in the morning. I just want coffee. So we just kept hearing the same theme of just give me coffee. I don't need to watch this masterclass production of coffee making. So that was pretty enlightening. And so what they really wanted was just a quick start of like, okay, this is what you need to do, da da da, to like make a good cup of coffee. And then, some users were interested in learning, in their downtime, just like some quick facts about the countries that the coffee's coming from and the producers. But again, just making that really light and not cumbersome.
I'm curious, what were the questions did you ask
it's been some time, so I can't remember off the top of my head. But do you mean in the screener or in the interview?
Yeah. Some
questions that we asked were, do you make coffee at home? So, we were looking for people who were making coffee, and then how they currently make coffee. So that usually was kind of a clue in into the, like, how much knowledge they had about coffee making. Obviously differs from, product to product, but you want to not make it super obvious that you're screening them. So like, you don't want to say, are you a coffee expert? A lot of people might think they are, but it's better to just kind of ask around that to get what you need. So you might have to get a little creative. Yeah. Yeah. For us, we were actually short on time, so I think you could go for more, just given how much time you have. But for us, we actually felt like there was enough consistent feedback across the five people that it was pretty clear that like we could just, you know, start, we could launch a product without certain elements. So I guess what I'm saying is that like if we had heard, if every single person in that group of five came up with like completely different experiences, then yeah, we would probably need to interview more people. But it was consistent enough that we were like, okay, let's go with this. You only have so much time in the world, so you just really need to like, at the end of the day, it's kind of just like, it's a, you have some signal, but then you also kind of have your intuition too of like, okay, this is good enough, let's just go with it. Yeah. So the final product was something called the Welcome Kit. And what it is, it's a 3-month coffee subscription. You get a brewing device that we call the dripper, and you get filters as part of the first box. Throughout the 3-month period, you're also getting some content, but we kept it pretty light, and it was always in the box. It wasn't ever like, go online, get onto your laptop, and watch this video. We try to keep as much of that information in the box as possible, since people really didn't want to watch videos. But yeah, so this was, and this is kind of the landing page that we launched with. To talk about actual numbers, to compare this with our existing new customer funnel, these new customers actually had revenue that was 6 times that of the previous funnel. So that's a huge lift. Our lifetime value too, you know, in comparison between the two, is increased by 11x. So this experience, I think, you know, it's in the numbers that like it really was a success. Had we not gone through a design sprint, we probably would have tried to implement some of the video library, spent a lot more time trying to produce that, but we were able to launch in 8 weeks. So because we kind of just cut out a lot of the fat of the original prototype, we were able to move faster, we were able to save money too. So just to repeat your question back, you're asking like how much of this actually had like software development work. Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so our platform is completely custom. So in order to do something like this, we actually have to like build in the functionality of doing prepaid subscriptions. We have to build in the integration from our platform to the warehouse of like telling them, hey, put the merchandise with the coffee. So there's definitely a lot of PMing work that's still involved. Still some back-end stuff, yeah. Yeah. Obviously, like, building a landing page, not a ton of, not super complicated, but yeah, a lot of the back-end pieces we had to do for the first time.
Got it. But you did have to make, obviously, a lot of changes to this welcome.
Yeah. It wasn't something we could, like, turn on in a day, yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good question. It's easy for me to forget that like a lot of people are on like Shopify or like these standard e-commerce platforms that already have these like features that are supported. So I'm working with kind of a blank slate a lot of times. And then one last thing I want to touch on too is that, you know, I mentioned that, you know, in working with a cross-functional team, one of the huge benefits is that you get alignment early. So instead of coming up with your own ideas and having to sell it to people or like getting approval from other people, you're getting them early enough in the process so that they're bought in all the way through. And that way, you know, after the design sprint, it's really clear what you need to do next to actually make it happen and not have to worry about persuading other people that your idea is a good idea. Does that make sense? Okay, so when you might want to use it, again, like if you're short on time and resources, if you're looking to make a big impact, if you have trouble getting buy-in or even interest in the company, it's funny, I'll talk a little bit about this. So, you know, Blue Bottle Coffee, I think, makes it, the bread and butter is the cafes, right? And like that's how most people know about Blue Bottle Coffee too. So the digital team is, while it's an important part of the business, it's not, you know, something that the CEO is thinking about every single day. So doing something like this, you know, you're getting enough people in the room, you're getting enough excitement that like people are actually engaged and not just, you know, not just like, I guess, forgetting about you or casting you aside. So this is a good way to just make sure that like you are a prominent part of the business and that you can actually bring value. Just a good reminder for people. And yeah, if you're just like, if you're not really sure what to do next, this could also just be a good way to break up your day, do something different, and maybe come up with a really creative solution. Okay, some of the things that I heard people say during this design sprint, so these are excuses that you might hear that you might want to just prepare for, is people will say, I can't commit to 5 days. It's really... that's probably the most common one. But if you set in the context of how long your projects normally take, I mean, for us, like, development time can take, you know, 6 to 8 weeks for most of our e-commerce product launches. But that feels like an eternity for me. So I try to emphasize, like, how long we have to wait to see results. In context of that, like 5 days really is not that big of a deal. Then people will say, you know, what was the problem again? Or they'll just like say something completely off topic from the original problem. So one thing as a facilitator that is good to do is start every day going through what the problem is, what the metrics are you're focused on. It's just easy to forget. Especially for people who aren't thinking about this day to day. So just really ground them, help them, you know, help them remember that you're here to solve a specific problem. And if there's other ideas that get, you know, generated out of it, it's good to maybe bring it up outside of the design sprint. People will say, I can't draw. So just, you know, remind them it doesn't matter. We're not all artists, obviously. And If they're really resistant to drawing, then just ask them to be super descriptive in the words that they write. And then finally, this is my favorite, is we didn't actually experience this, but I read a few case studies, you know, where the prototype was a complete failure and it just didn't work. And I think that's a great thing. Now you know, you have saved yourself so much, you know, time and money. You didn't have to build this new product or new feature to just realize that it didn't work. So you can answer that in 5 days, which I think is a great thing. Did you have a question?
Yes. How do you determine whether or not a prototype is
successful? Yeah. I think for us, I mean, it's really how the customers react, right? Like if they're excited about it, if they're happy to be going through the process, then I think that's a great sign that like that's a pretty clear sign that it's working.
Do you have like quantitative metrics like,
oh,
how this percent is
like threshold?
You know,
yeah.
Or is it more of a kind of like feel like
most people are, you know? Yeah, because you're working with a pretty small sample size. That's something to keep in mind too, is that like it's a signal, but it's not going to be like definitive. And I think you just based on how customers are reacting, that's really what you have to go off of. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And so in those interviews, you know, you should also have an interview script to try to uncover, you know, what are some of the things you want customers to feel or how you want them to respond. Are they getting actual value? So you can like work that into the actual interview script. Yeah. Yeah. But that's really, you're not going to get a ton of quantitative feedback, but at least you have a sense of, you know, how customers are reacting. Yeah. Yeah. And I mentioned this, but, you know, there's like a plethora of information online. You have, I mean, all of this is free and up for grabs. So just, if you are planning on doing this, I would say try to read a few more examples of how other people have done it. And there's the way Google Ventures has done it is actually really helpful. They split out each day with an agenda, with all the different checklists that you might need. So it's really anyone can get it up and running. But yeah, that's all I have for today. Any other questions? Yeah, it's true. It's true. I think one you'll just have to kind of be creative about it. But we actually did do some edit, like live editing of the videos during this session. But again, like kept it really scrappy. But maybe instead of like showing video, you have someone like a recorded voice or something. I think there's probably ways around it, but yeah, if we wanted it to be like a full-fledged production, then there's no way you can do that in one day. Yeah, I think you really have to draw the line of like, okay, what is good enough for this prototype? Yeah. Maybe another thing you could do is to just borrow some videos that are already existing online too, for this specific example.
Yeah, well, I come from a hardware company, so like,
yeah. That's gotcha, gotcha. Oh my gosh, I bet. Yeah. Do you have something in mind or no specific example?
Just like in general, yeah. Products, like,
yeah, 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 yeah. But for this, do you think that there's a way where you could like you could fake the things on the hardware? Yeah.
I think that like say you had like a button, like how the button
it's also kind of important. Gotcha, gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, and those are questions you should definitely answer for yourself. Like, if the texture of the button is a really key part of the product that you're launching, then maybe this process doesn't make sense. Again, this is like just one tool that a PM can use, but it's not necessarily like the only thing. But that's definitely a different world that you live in.
Yeah. Challenges implementing the solution.
Let's see. Yeah. No. Yeah. Yes. The short answer is yes. The way we package coffee is actually pretty manual, and I'm not sure how much y'all know about like the way like e-commerce inventory works, but like you normally do pick and pack. But for us, you know, there's a very short window that we can have coffee lying around. That's one of the biggest things is that we have really fresh coffee beans, and so we don't actually roast the coffee beans until we need to put it in a bag and box it. So everything happens that same day. And that has implications in the way that you process all of the packages. So to support this specific experience, you have to have a lot of like, there's a lot of touches, right? Because you have to put the dripper in there, you need to put filters in there too. And then you also need to put a card in there and a bag of beans. So I would say the challenges definitely came up from more of the like production side.
Got it. Is there any way to bring those risks to light earlier into your solution development?
Yeah. There is, and that was actually as part of the like. So after the sprint, there's definitely more work to be done around like, okay, figuring out the scope and like how much do we actually want to do. So there was a lot of. There were still more discussions that I had to kind of like facilitate afterwards. And this was kind of a result of like me figuring out what is really operationally feasible for us at this given point in time. Yeah. So that's definitely, that was something we had to kind of work through after the sprint. Yeah. But I think the sprint, it was good because it gave me some... a sense of direction, right? And then I needed to go and talk to other people to figure out like what the guardrails are.
Got it.
Yeah. Any other questions?
If there's no more questions, I'll give it a hand.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Product Podcast. If you liked this episode, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes. If you want to know more about our courses and next cohorts, visit productschool.com. Stay tuned for the next episode to learn more about the secrets in product management.